Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Welcome once again to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee. I'm Chris Wilde, and Ron Kangas is with us as we bring you short recorded portion from the Life Study of Galatians. And Ron, thanks once again for joining us.
And thanks once again for having me. This is a happy occasion for me.
Well, Ron, we have come to an extremely crucial verse, I think it's fair to say, in the New Testament economy. Today we're on Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Ron, this is a mysterious verse to be sure, but one that contains crucial revelation of what it means to live the Christian life. Some people have used the expression an exchanged life to help describe the truth that's being conveyed here. Is this a valid way of looking at it?
No, it's not a valid way, even though some of us at one point considered using this expression. But the reason I say it's not valid is because it doesn't apply to the whole verse. If Galatians 2:20 simply said, I am crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, the phrase might apply. However, you have this little phrase, in me, and then you have the rest of the verse, the life which I now live in the flesh. I live in faith. Then who's living? Well, we're told we're crucified with Christ, and we no longer live, and that Christ lives in us. And then we're told that the life which we now live, we live in faith. If we really examine this in detail and compare it with other portions of Scripture, and if we consider it in light of our genuine experience in the Lord, I believe we'll conclude it's really inaccurate and also somewhat superficial to speak of an exchanged life. That expression means, I was here, now I am completely out of the picture, and Christ is here, he is the one living. That's an exchange. What we have here, as we will see, is a joining of Christ as the indwelling Spirit with our regenerated spirit to have one life and one living. On the one hand, our old man has been crucified, and Christ lives. But Christ lives in something called in me. Furthermore, I now live. If this were an exchanged life, there would be no I who was living. There would be only Christ who is living. This is a mingling. We'll see later. It's the grafting of two lives that come together in an organic union to have one life and one living.
Well, Ron, the Lord has brought us to this point. I think there is some light that we can expect to be given from him as we get further into this verse. It's really the topic of our whole program today, Galatians 2:20. Let's join Witness Lee.
We come to a very, very familiar matter. We all know, no longer I, but Christ lives in me. Have you ever considered that this is one of the basic items in God's New Testament economy? What is God's New Testament economy? It is no longer you and me. No longer we, but Christ living in us. This is a basic item. And this is a strong item, so basic in the truth of the gospel. Here in Galatians 2:20, it doesn't tell us an exchange life. Amen. It says, no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. Amen. Yes, it is Christ living, but he lives in me. Not only so, and the life that I now live, I still live. No longer I, yet I still live. The life that I now live, I live by the faith in the Son of God. You read the whole context of this verse, you could see there's no exchange, but there is mystery. And because it is so mysterious, this basic truth has been altogether veiled from the proper understanding of the Christians through centuries. Romans 6:6 helps us to understand the very I who have been crucified in Galatians 2:20 is the old I, old man. As a regenerated person, we do have an old I and a new I. The old I is over, and the new I still live. In this one verse, verse 20 of Galatians 2, there are two I's, two different kinds of I. One is the kind that is over, no longer I. And the other is that a kind of I still live. No longer I and I live. No longer I, what can I? The old I. And I live, what can I?
The new I.
You got it. The old I doesn't have anything of God's divinity. Why the old I could become a new I? Just because God and God himself, in the way as life, has been added into this eye. The very eye that is over is the old eye without God. And the very eye that still lives is the eye that has God in him. A big difference. It's no longer I, no longer that kind of I that doesn't have any of God in him. But there's another kind, the kind with God.
Ron, I know that Paul is not trying to confuse us in this verse, but there clearly are two different eyes spoken of, and you pointed this out in your introduction. The one that was crucified and the one that is living. Who are these two eyes?
Okay, the first eye. I am crucified with Christ. To understand this I, we need to read Romans 6:6, which says that our old man has been crucified with him. So this I, crucified in Galatians 2:20, is the old man crucified in Romans 6:6. So this is the old I, the I without God, the I without Christ, the I without the divine life. That I, that natural old I, has been crucified. That's the first I. Then there's a second I, the I who lives in faith. This I who is now living in faith is a new I. This is the new person in Christ. This is a regenerated human being who now has Christ living in him, who now has the divine life, and who is now a new person. So our old I, our old man, has been crucified, but we have been born of God, regenerated by him. We have received the divine life. Now in Christ, we are a new person and a new I, and this new I lives in faith.
Ron, we've established that the exchanged life is not the best way to view this truth, this reality, but the Bible does give us a very useful analogy. And that is Romans chapter 11, and the picture of a wild olive branch that gets grafted into a cultivated and fruitful tree. Let's rejoin Witness Lee.
Now, you must tell me how Christ lives in you. In John 14, he told us, a day will come. By that day, I shall live. And you also shall live by me. How Christ lives in us, He lives in us by making us to live with him. He doesn't live by himself. He lives in you. He lives with us. If you don't live with him, he doesn't live in you. Now, you have the triune God in you. And this triune God in you makes you living with Christ. So Christ lives in you by this way. This is grafting. Look at the grafted branch. The grafted branch, after being grafted into that good tree, it lives by the tree. And the tree lives in this grafted branch. Now, the branch grafted does live a grafted life. It lives a life that is not itself, but it lives by another life. And this other life doesn't live by itself. And this other life lives by this branch. And this other life lives in this branch. Eventually, they too have one life, and they too have one living. Eventually, you and Christ and you, too have one life, and too have one living. The Lord Jesus said, the living Father has sent the Son here. And the Son now lives by the Father. He that eats me, even he shall live by me. The Son didn't live by himself. Neither the Son was over. The Son was never over. The Son was all the time there. But the Son didn't live his own life. The Son lived the Father's life. So the Son and the Father, they too had the one life. And they too had the one living. Today, it is the same. We and Christ don't have two lives. We and Christ just have one life. We and Christ just live together to have one living. We live by him, and he lives in us. If we don't live, he doesn't live. If he doesn't live, and we cannot live. Neither he is over, nor I am over. We and him, these two parties have one life. And these two parties have one living.
Ron, this is a marvelous picture of Galatians 2:20. An olive branch broken off an old and useless tree, but when grafted into a new and vital tree, really begins to live another life, a new life, doesn't it?
Yes, because this olive branch is cut off from the old tree. That's to say, it's cut off from the old source of life. Now this branch is grafted to a new olive tree. The branch lives. But the branch lives not by the life of the old tree. It lives by the life of this good, healthy olive tree. So the branch is now living, but it's living by another life. This life, the life of this healthy, good olive tree, flows into the branch, and I love this realization, Chris. It renews it, it enriches it, it uplifts it. It brings it into a realm of organic living it had never known before. This is a picture of our organic union with Christ that is really conveyed in Galatians 2:20. When our old man was crucified, we are cut off from the old tree. When we believed in the Lord and were born of God, we were grafted into Christ, grafted into him as the vine. Now we are branches in him. And the life that is in him, the life which is actually Christ himself, is now flowing into us as a branch, living through us, being expressed through us. And the result is that we are enriched, we are resurrected, we are uplifted, we are renewed, we are brought into another altogether unprecedented and unexpected realm of divine human living simply by the fact that we are organically one with Christ, and the life that is in Him as the tree is now flowing in us as the branch. Wonderful.
I think this is such a complete and, as you said, wonderful picture. The whole verse really comes into play in this analogy as we look at it. The old has really been crucified. The old tree is no longer a factor, but the branch is now still living, but yet living a new life that prior was completely foreign.
That's it exactly.
In this final section, I really encourage our listeners to pay attention. This is marvelous because we have now an example of Galatians 2:20 as it's been lived out in a very touching story. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
And the life that I now live, I live by faith. The faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. This last part of the verse indicates Paul was filled with that kind of appreciation. The more you appreciate Christ's constraining love, the more faith you have. And that faith actually is not your kind of ability. And that faith is not your kind of function. That faith is just the very Christ whom you appreciate is working in you. When you appreciate Him, when you love Him, when you treasure Him, when you say, Lord Jesus, I just treasure you, I just, Lord, love you, He is working in you. And that becomes your faith. And that faith brings in a kind of organic union, making you and He just one. To confirm the point that the real operating faith comes from our appreciation of the Lord Jesus. I still remember quite well a real story. The story was this. In 1900, in China, there was the Boxer Rebellion. Hundreds and thousands of real Christians were martyred. In the old capital, Peking, the Boxers that day were parading on the street to kill a young girl who believed in the Lord Jesus. And all the stores, storefronts, were closed. And the Boxers were shouting, and those executioners were shouting with the sword in their hand, putting the young girl on a kind of wagon, parading through the street. They were shouting. A young man in one of the storefronts dared not to open the door, but he looked through the crack and he saw a young girl sitting on the wagon with the executioners with their swords in their hands shouting. That was a threatening, terrifying scene. But he saw clearly that young girl, her face was glowing, and she was singing. She was happy. She was singing, she was praising. Her face was glowing. And that scene impressed this young man to the uttermost. This young man said, it must be something. How come such a young girl? She was not threatened. She was glowing. She was happy, singing, praising. What is this? I'd like to find out. And he did it, and he found out. Then by that kind of finding, he got impressed, and he became a believer. He was a businessman. Then after that, he left the business, and he became a preacher. And I met him in my hometown. I said, brother, how you became a Christian? Then he told me the story. Now, how could that young girl be that bold, be that happy, glowing, praising, singing? Faith did work there. When she appreciated the Lord Jesus, to the uttermost. When she loved the Lord Jesus to the uttermost, the very appreciated Jesus, the very loved Jesus, right away became her faith within her. And that faith brought a kind of organic union into her. Right away, she was there, one with the Lord Jesus. This is the basic atom of God's New Testament economy.
Ron, I thought this was captivating, obviously an inspiring story about this young girl who ended up a martyr for the faith that she displayed. But in addition to being an inspiring story, there's a deep point here that we shouldn't miss, coming back to our verse today, Galatians 2:20. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. The faith that this girl was experiencing is faith that brought her into the organic union that we've been talking about. What, again, is this organic union, and how do we obtain such a faith?
The organic union is the joining of two lives that are similar in order to have one life and one living. In order for two lives to be grafted together, there has to be a fundamental similarity. So then, this makes the union possible. An organic union is a life union. We were created in the image of God, so we are similar to God, and we are designed to contain the life of God. When we believe into Christ, an organic union takes place involving the regenerated human spirit and Christ as the life-giving spirit. And now in this union, two lives are joined to have one life and one living. This is absolutely a matter of faith. And the faith is in Christ. On the other hand, the faith is of Christ in that it is Christ revealed in us, Christ infused into us to impart to us the ability to believe in him. The Lord knows that we in our natural life are not able to have genuine faith. Faith is a gift. Faith is something infused into us by God through our appreciation of Christ. So when we turn our heart to the Lord, we love him, we appreciate him, we focus our attention on him. Spontaneously, we are infused with him, and his very element is added to our being. When that happens, the believing ability is imparted to us, and spontaneously, we have the capacity to believe in him. So we're learning to practice and also to proclaim this by centering on Christ, by uplifting Christ, by focusing on Christ, by encouraging one another to love him, to enjoy him, to appreciate him. When we do this, he shines himself into us. He dispenses himself into us. He infuses himself into us. And this results in something called the faith in the Son of God, which in a mysterious way is the faith of the Son of God, in that it's the Lord entering into us to be our ability to believe in him so that we may be joined to him to have one life and one living with him. This is God's economy.
Ron, I very much love this verse, but I have benefited much from our time together, and I love even more the ability to fellowship in the light of God shining in a verse such as this and really have something opened up as marvelous as God's economy.
Well, if you have more love through the ministry of the Word, then the issue, Chris, is you will have more faith, and as a result of more faith, more experience and enjoyment of this marvelous organic union.
Well, Ron, this is our prayer for one another and certainly for all of our listeners. Thanks once again.
You're welcome.
I'm going to have to recommend this life study message on such a tremendous verse, and we just really scratched the surface. There's so much more here for you that we really hope that your appreciation has been enhanced and increased by this broadcast, and so we're going to recommend that you contact us to find out about receiving these printed life study messages. I'd like to thank Ron Kangas once again. I'm Chris Wilde, and thank you very much for listening today.